Hello and a warm welcome back to Inside Right, episode 4. Today I'm joined by two guests, Dan Zeleny. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
And good, thanks. And Isaac Denzo.
Hello, how are you?
How are we?
Good.
Good?
Yep.
Let's get into this. Tell us, Dan, what do you do first of all? I know you're a coach, but elaborate on that for us.
Yeah, I'm a football coach. Isaac and I work together we run the M5FA Academy here in the Shire.
Yep.
And as well as that, I work in the MPL space with St. George FC.
Yep, awesome. M5FA, the Mark Milligan's Academy?
Yep, correct, yeah.
I got a question about that. So Mark Milligan started that academy. What's the story behind that?
Obviously, Mark was coming to the end of his career, has a passion for football like all of us here.
Yep.
Had a vision.
Yep.
A vision ultimately we both shared, and it was an opportunity to work together with someone who I look up to, through football as well. We both jumped at it.
There you go. Awesome. Isaac, tell us, what do you do? I know you work at M5 as well, but you're also a player in the MPL. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, this past season played with Rockdale. So there, and then I work with Dan at M5. So
yeah, awesome. What position do you play?
Defensive midfield.
And how's your season going so far?
Good. We've just secured second, so it's been a strong season.
Very good. Well, unfortunately, at the tail end of the season, you have copped an injury. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, yeah. I've done an MCL grade 2, but I missed the last few games, but I should be back in a couple
of weeks.
Should
be back next season because it's almost the end of the season, right? There's only like 3-4 weeks left?
No, last weekend.
Final week this week.
Oh, wow. So there's only 1 week left. There you go. Yeah. Mm. There you go. All right, Dan, I'll go to you first again. Where did your love for football begin?
I think just like everybody else, family of football lovers. And
family, yeah.
You're just indoctrinated into it without, you're not given a chance, eh? Football's the game.
Exactly. Here's a soccer ball, now play.
That's
exactly.
It.
Are you the same, Isaac?
Same thing. Been given a Liverpool shirt when I was 5 or 6. So
yeah.
Since then.
Yeah, there you go. How did you get into coaching, Dan?
By chance, actually. I'd finished my career. I distanced myself from the game. Retired due to injury, and as a result of, I guess, a little bit of bitterness and, you know, not being able to end things on my terms and everything else, I decided to step away from the game.
Fair enough.
And as fate would have it, just a random day, a close family friend called me. He was coaching at a local MPL club and asked me to come in and help him, assist him. And it took a bit of back and forth, bit of thinking. My wife encouraged me.
Yep.
And she said, give it a crack, see what you think. But just in terms of getting back involved with the game. When I decided to, literally within 10 minutes, I was hooked.
Yeah, awesome.
More to do with being hooked on the coaching as opposed to the involvement back in the game, but obviously just fell back in love with everything once again.
So what's your favourite thing about coaching? Is it working with the players one-on-one, or what is it? The technical side of things, or...?
I think in the collective environment, it's building something. It's almost the mechanical nature of it. You get to see something, you know, build and grow.
Yeah.
From an individual context, it's about watching that person progress, not only as a player, but as the relationship forms as a person as well.
Yeah,
so you get to see development pretty rapidly there as well in the individual context.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. Isaac, going to you, you work at M5. Tell us, are you pretty much the same as Dan when it comes to wanting to see improvement in players, and what's your favourite thing about coaching?
Yeah, I work more with the young players. Yeah. Dan does MPL men, so he does both, but I know it's like seeing, because they're at such young age, they learn so quick, they're intrigued, so I just like seeing them develop.
And that's at 99.9% of their life, football, at such a young age.
Helps them both.
They walk in
and
kicking a ball, they walk out kicking a ball. Isaac, what's your ambition as a player? What's the next step for you?
Ultimately, it's to play as high as possible.
Yeah.
Whether it's A-League or overseas, whatever comes up, whatever is the best option is.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Now, you guys will know more about this than me, but is the B-League still on, or will that not happen? Because I'm not sure. Like, they said it was on, they said it was off. I'm not sure. Isaac, you hope it's on. Dan?
We're all being told it's on.
Yeah.
That's probably the best the best and most accurate response I can give you.
Okay. So should be able to hear something in the next.
Yeah. We're being told it's going ahead and we all hope for it to go ahead.
Yeah, fantastic. Dan, let's get into your playing career. How did your... Give us the start of your career and then we'll progress from there.
Start as in...
First club.
Okay.
Then when you moved overseas and give us a bit of an overview about that.
Typical, I guess, Australian football story in that regard. Played locally for, I think my first club was St. Pat's.
Yep.
Did the whole youth thing. Eventually moved into the NPL youth space. Played at a couple clubs locally, including St. George, where I'm at now. And I think I was around 20, 21. Was playing in the NPL one at the time at a men's club.
Centre-back as well?
Centre-back, full-back at that stage.
Yep.
Had an opportunity to head overseas just through, you know, networking and trying to make it like we all do.
Yep.
Was provided that opportunity and, it went 1 week. I was at the Belmore Sports Ground playing in front of 200 people, and the next week I was in India playing in front of 120,000.
Fantastic. So, yeah, wow.
Super fortunate. But yeah, that's...
There you go.
Ultimately just really lucky to have been given that opportunity.
Fantastic. So you moved over to India. What club did you play for over there?
Mohun Bagan.
Fantastic. What was the football culture like in those Asian countries? How is it different to Australian football?
More fanatical?
Yeah.
Kolkata, the city I started in India, is football crazy. Football's, it's reported to be the number one sport.
Yeah.
Two biggest clubs in the country at the time were there, East Bengal and Mohun Bagan. It's a massive rivalry. Yeah. One of the biggest in the context of world football.
Yeah.
Crowd attendances, all that stuff. Culturally as well, as a country, completely different to what we are here.
Yeah.
So big culture shock, but from a football point of view, wherever you go, the fanaticism, you know, being a footballer and being immersed within that club, it's crazy, right?
I can only imagine the rivalries between two clubs. That would have been intense to play in.
Correct. It was something you don't get to experience here. And then when you feel, when you experience the context of it all over there, you start to understand what the game means to people.
There you go.
In other parts of the world.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, wow. All right. Was there any setbacks along the way? You talked about your injury, which evidently cut your career to a close.
Yeah.
What was that injury and what happened there?
The definition of it was a subluxed patella, where I split the kneecap in the process and all the cartilage.
Oh.
In terms of challenges, that would be the big one. I mean, that's what stopped me playing.
Yeah.
But then... realistically, moving overseas, it's a challenge. You're moving away from people, your loved ones, family. You're having to learn new languages, understand new cultures.
Yeah.
There's always challenges, but they're more, in that regard, they're opportunities for development, personally and professionally. But challenges in terms of football, it was the knee. The knee ended the career, and I think post-career there was a bit of, realistically, probably... some mental health there as well, just in terms of being bitter with the game and how it ended, and the reality that all football is fake, right? You got to hang up the thing you identify as.
Yeah,
well,
wow. So. Isaac, back over to you. You played in Spain or trained in Spain?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Played in Spain.
Tell us a bit about your time over there.
Well, I was there. I was in Spain for around 8 years.
Yep.
I was at a local team, Barcelona, for a year and a half, and then I was at Levante for six or so, seven.
Yeah.
So that was a good experience.
I can imagine.
The level was higher. I learnt a lot and try to bring it back here.
Yeah, fair enough. Fantastic. All right, to end I've got one more question. How did you guys meet? That's a question I'm just curious of, because I have no clue. The floor's yours.
How do we meet? Not through anyone, but just through fate. Isaac was returning from Spain. He knows a mutual friend of ours.
Yep.
And he ended up coming to St. George last year. So we ended up working together as coach and player.
Yeah, wow. So he came over. What was the first conversation like?
It would have been a training session.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It would have been about football.
No, it was definitely about football. Yeah, I actually can't remember it, but
I remember Brian saying, "Oh yeah, we got second. The assistant coach played overseas. Should get to know him."
There you go.
All right, I've got some quick fire ones for you guys as players.
Sure.
Best goal scored by both of you.
Oh, probably against goal scored against Atletico Madrid or Valencia.
Yeah, well, what was that goal like?
It was a cutback, edge of the box, my left foot, bottom right.
Nice, very good. Dan, centre back, any goals?
Just be real. Don't worry, I didn't score many either.
Any own goals, Dan?
Yeah, it's either an own goal or something. Actually, no, it was the one in training that wasn't recorded. It was unbelievable.
Gotcha. All right, well, this one's probably more for you than Dan. Best game, clean sheets.
Best game? Best game, the most memorable was the debut in India.
Okay, in India.
It's probably one of my better games as well, because I was voted as the man of the match, but that's definitely the one that stands out the most.
Yeah, terrific. Isaac?
I'd say most special game probably be debuting with the first team against Villarreal.
Okay.
It's probably the...
Yeah, wow. The clubs you're mentioning, you're just casually Villarreal, Atletico Madrid. Yeah, wow. Most heartbreaking moment in a game. So, like, I'm not sure if it's losing a big rivalry game or a big final or what's happened. Isaac, we'll go to you first.
One that I can think of is probably when I was on loan 1 year to a team in third division and won the playoffs, and I tore my hamstring and tendon about 25 minutes into the game. So
yeah, well,
I was out for 3 months. So it was bad timing. I said that was
bad timing. Yeah, well, Dan.
Probably similar to Isaac, injury.
Injury.
When I knew when I injured my knee at the time, you know it's bad.
Okay. Mm. Best player you've played with, Dan? Who's the best player you've played with?
Played with?
Yeah. And then coached.
Isaac Danzo, best player I've coached. I know, I say that legitimately.
Yeah.
Best player I played with. With or against, or just with?
Both. Best player you've played with and against?
Probably a gentleman from Scotland called Alan Gale, who played for Rangers. We played against each other in India. We became pretty close at the time.
Yeah, well, okay. Isaac?
I'd probably say, I don't know if you know him, a player. His name's Pepe Lu. He just scored for Valencia the other day. He played with him. And against maybe Ferran Torres or
Yeren. Yeah, well. Wow, Ferran Torres. He scored a goal on the weekend too.
He did as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's wrapping up coaching and playing. Let's move on to the Premier League. Obviously, we all love the Premier League here. You were given a Liverpool shirt at a very young age, Isaac. Dan, are you a Liverpool fan too?
To an extent.
To an extent.
They're playing Man United, I'm a
Liverpool
fan. I
always see you rock
sure.
the Leicester shirt at M5.
Yeah, Leicester shirt.
Fair enough. But Liverpool overall?
No, Leicester overall.
Okay, Leicester overall.
Liverpool,
sure.
Whenever they play against Man United.
Sure, sure. Well, this is the Premier League, not the Championship, right? So we can't really say Leicester. So we're going to go for the Premier League game week 3 score predictions. So I'm going to go through the games and we're going to give our score predictions for that match, as well as if you've got any other comments to add. Chelsea, Luton. First of all, how do we think Luton's going to go this season?
I think they're going to struggle.
Struggle.
They're going to struggle.
Yeah, I think they'll be lucky to get 20 points.
Well, you're off like a derby kind of when they were in the Premier League, when they struggled. They got like 15, I think.
Yeah, they got 11, didn't they?
11, yeah.
Like, I think it's going to be pretty similar to that. I don't think they'll get lower than 11, but it could be 15. Could be 15.
I think it just depends on how good they are at home when they play at the stadium.
Yeah, true.
I think away they're going to struggle.
Yeah, 100%. What do we think of Chelsea? Because they've spent, obviously, under Todd Bowley, the new owner, they've got more player signings than wins.
Yeah.
They've got 24 signings, 11 wins.
I saw a stat as well about Enzo. He's only won, I think, 4 games since he's been there.
I love it. I know.
Hasn't he spent over $1 billion in 3 transfer windows?
Yeah, I don't know how it's legal, but that's for a different podcast. Are we impressed by Chelsea this season, Dan? What do we think?
They've been okay in moments. Look, they'll stabilise eventually.
You reckon?
They'll stabilise.
They can't not, right?
They've got a good coach. They've got good players.
Yeah.
It'll be up and down and they'll be you know, people will take the piss out of them while they're down, but they'll stabilize and they'll be okay. I don't expect them to make the top four or anything like that, but they'll finish stronger than they started, that's for sure.
Fair enough. Score predictions, guys? What are we thinking?
3-1.
Yep.
I think Chelsea will score three, but it'll be a 3-0.
I think it'll be 3-0 as well. Let's go over to Bournemouth, Tottenham, Ange Postecoglou. 2-0 win on the weekend against Manchester United. Thoughts on that game?
Good for Australian football.
Good for Australian football, right? And I think for the first time in a while, I can say this. Tottenham, from attack to defence, were strong. And I don't think I've seen that in ages. The fans are getting behind the team. This is something we haven't seen from Tottenham, or it's gone way under the radar for so long. And it's like Ange has brought back that passion at the football club.
They're entertaining to watch again.
They're entertaining to watch.
2-3 years of pretty mundane football, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to go 2-1 Tottenham. It's at Vitality Stadium, Bournemouth, so that's why I go 2-1.
Oof, I think that's a tricky game.
Yeah.
Smaller field.
They've got a new coach as well. They're better than people give them credit for.
Yeah.
I think it'll be tougher than they think. Tottenham obviously is still work in progress. You know, Richarlison's still struggling to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a draw, personally.
Draw?
Yeah. All
right. I think 1-1.
1-1. All right. There you go. Brentford, Crystal Palace. Let's jump straight into this one. Let's go. I'm going to go 2-2. 2-2 draw.
That's a tricky game, that one as well.
Tricky game. And Brentford, I think they're a very good team as well. I think Thomas Frank has done wonders at that club since they've moved up. Yeah, every set piece, they're dangerous, right? However, Palace on a good day, can score goals too. So I'm going 2-2.
It'd be interesting to see if Felice plays.
Mm.
I think if he plays, is it at Crystal Palace?
It's at Brentford Stadium.
I'm going to go another boring draw, 1-1.
1-1 boring draw, all right.
No, I think Brentford snatch it. I think this is why Brentford are
the team they are.
Are who they are, is because these are the games they find. Well, this is the point of differentiation between them and the other teams around them on the table.
Fair enough. Do you guys have fantasy football?
We do.
How many points did you roughly get this round?
Well, this last round was a bit of a struggle for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Because Haaland didn't score.
So what? You guys got like 30 points?
Yeah, I think we're high 30s.
18.
I think I'm...
18.
18.
I think I was low to mid 40s.
I lost by 1 point.
Yeah, wow.
I beat Evan Souris, former guest of this show, by a single point.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, he copied my team, give or take
fair
one or
enough,
two.
Fair enough. Well, this is how bad I've been. I'm dead last of a competition of 20. I'm so bad at the moment. If I go bad next week, I'm sacking myself from the game. I've been terrible.
Who's in your team?
Terrible. Oh, it's on there, but I've played my wild card. I've had to. No, seriously, my team.
I think I'll be there soon as well, don't worry.
Literally, my team this round was 2-2-0-0-2-1-5-2-0-7, whatever. It was been terrible.
What's your approach to fantasy football, though? Do you constantly adjust?
On average, I probably make 2 or 3 changes each week.
Wow.
But I watch. I focus on that religiously. I know you let it run, but I like to have a back four with all four different teams because you know one of them's going to get a clean sheet. You'd hope so. That's 6 points guaranteed.
But how do you build your teams? Are you one of those players who has like four right fullbacks in a back four?
I wish I had my phone, but I know I've got. I just took. Okay, so I got Kyle Walker. I can never say his name. The new Croatian centre back at City.
Guardiola.
Thank you. I've got an R Saliba, and I put in
probably a Newcastle player.
I think Dan Byrne.
Yeah.
So that's my four, and then I got five in the midfield, and my midfield's pretty good after wild card. Matoma, Mbeumo, Salah, Saka, and the new 4.5 million Sar. On the wing at Tottenham. And then up front, I've got Haaland and Isak.
Okay.
So that's my wild card team.
Okay.
I've just gone full on chase the dragon. Whoever scores, I'm putting in my team. But yeah.
Interesting. So approach.
We've done Brentford, Crystal Palace. Let's move on to Arsenal, Fulham. What do we think of that game? Obviously, Arsenal won this morning against Palace. It was a pretty close game in a sense, but hey, 1-0 penalty. Take what you get if you're Arsenal. 3-0 to me, Arsenal Fulham at home.
I think they're going to be a 2-0 Arsenal.
Yeah.
At home?
Fulham are going to struggle.
I think Fulham will actually, I see Fulham struggling away from home. I see Arsenal being really strong at home. I think it'll be more convincing than people realise.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't see Fulham being anywhere near as strong this year as they were last year.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I agree. Manchester United, Nottingham Forest. I don't know what to think for this game. I think Old Trafford United are going to win, but sometimes Nottingham Forest put up a good fight, you know, and I rate Morgan Gibbs-White as a player. Obviously, first two games, a bit harsh to say, but he hasn't performed at his best, but hey, he's got a long season to get that back, but I'm a big fan of him. And Taiwo Awoniyi, two goals so far this Premier League. So
it's been good.
Their attacking returns been all right, as well as Chris Wood scored in the weekend. So he's back. What do we think, guys?
No, I think Man United do it pretty convincingly. Yeah. I don't think the score will be a blowout, but I think the performance will be.
Okay.
I think if they get the first goal, United, they'll cruise to a win.
Okay. I'm going 3-1 United.
I go 3-0.
Well, that's just the phone going. Sorry, guys.
2-0 for me.
Everton v Wolves.
Mine, isn't it?
Everton v Wolves. Actually, let's just stop until it's... There we go.
Please don't ring again.
Everton, imagine. Everton v Wolves. 0-0. Boring game. Don't care. Everton v Wolves.
I think Wolves are going to beat them.
So do I.
Okay. If Wolves beat them away from home... Sean Dyche's position surely in a bit of danger.
Well, Calvert-Lewin was in hospital this morning, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I think he's fractured his cheekbone or something.
So
he came off.
His orbital or his cheek.
Yeah, against Aston Villa.
If they're without him, who does that leave up front? Neil Mopay.
Yeah. He's all right.
Oh, I'm just saying. That's
that's who's there.
I see Wolves being stronger.
Yep, fair enough.
And Wolves have been okay. They played United. They were all right. The game against Brighton in the first half, they were... I think relatively competitive. They're okay. They'll be okay, Wolves.
Fair enough.
I think 2-1 Wolves.
2-1 Wolves?
Mm.
Brighton, West Ham, 2-0 Brighton. For me. Brighton have been so good so far.
Brighton have been good, but West Ham aren't a bad side. Especially if Ward-Prowse now back in.
I think Brighton win, but I think both teams score.
Okay. 2-1? Something like that?
2-3-1. I think with Ward-Prowse there, they're going to be even more dangerous off set pieces, which we're already strong at.
Great buy as well, because they got such a tall
team. For the price,
yeah.
It's a good buy.
Depending on what happens with Paqueta in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
Obviously, who knows? Brighton, one thing with Brighton is they're consistent in the way they play, so you know what you're going to get. They'll score goals.
Yep. Isaac?
I think it's going to be a draw.
All right. 1-1?
Potentially 2-2.
2-2. All right. Sheffield, Man City. That seems like a crime that's even a fixture. But I'm going to go 5-1 to Manchester City.
I think it'll be 4-0.
4-0.
I think they'll crush them.
I'll meet you in the middle. I'll say 5-0.
5-0. There you go. Burnley, Aston Villa. Aston Villa, they lost the first game 5-1. They came back. They won 4-0. They've been good under Unai Emery. So what do we think?
I don't know. I think Aston Villa are going to be very good this year. That 5-1, I don't think it was a fair
definition of the game. Yeah.
But Burnley are going to be strong at home under Vincent Kompany. I'm going to Aston Villa just to win.
Yeah. 2-1.
I'll say draw.
Draw. Right.
But I do agree that Aston Villa are a top team. Burnley are highly motivated at this point in time.
Pretty young team as well.
All right, last match, Newcastle Liverpool. First of all, did you guys see the Liverpool Bournemouth game?
Saw bits of it, yeah.
Thoughts on the red card?
Oof. It's harsh, but.
It's harsh.
Whenever you look at those things, VAR and a picture.
But, like, I remember I was watching the game live. And the Bournemouth players didn't question that it could have been a red card. So did Liverpool, so didn't the crowd, so didn't me or dad watching the game. And then all of a sudden, he just pops out a red. And I'm like, What?
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Like, I get it's a yellow card. End of story. Of course it is. But there was minimal contact between the two legs. If the studs were more up and it got a little bit more contact, it's questionable. But this was just like this. Done. So I don't understand how that's a red card. No explanation, guys?
I guess still got the 3 points.
Still got the 3 points. And we played better at 10 men, which was interesting.
Sometimes that can happen.
Thoughts on Szoboszlai?
No, he's a top player.
He's a top player.
He's been a top player for years.
Yeah.
It's just he'll now get...
He's on the bigger stage.
Yeah.
More publicity.
Far more whatever. Attention will be on
attention,
him.
Attention, yeah.
As a consequence of where he's playing. But he's been...
He's complete.
Even back at Salzburg, he was outstanding.
Yeah. All right, Newcastle, thoughts on them for this coming season? Will they struggle when Champions League football comes into play? I think so. I think they'll struggle a little bit.
I think they'll be all right. I don't think they're going to fight for the title. So
no, yeah.
They'll be somewhere between that fourth and seventh range, I think. So I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. Plus, the group stages usually aren't the most challenging, depending on who you get.
Depends who you get, right? Sometimes it can be Copenhagen, Porto, and I don't know.
Malmo.
Yeah, sure. But sometimes it can be PSG, Real Madrid, and bloody... Who else is in it? AC, whatever.
Mm.
But I think they'll struggle a little bit further on in the season. But I think for this fixture, Newcastle-Liverpool, I'm going 2-0 Liverpool. But yet again, I think it'll be close. I think it'll be very close.
I've got different thoughts on that. I think Newcastle at home, deservingly, are the favourites.
Yep.
And I think physically... They're equally as strong as Liverpool.
Yeah, physically.
Especially with the likes of Harvey Barnes and the other ones they've brought in.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards Newcastle in this one.
Yeah,
they did really well against City.
Yeah.
Obviously,
they
well.
They did do very well
the week
City,
before against Villa. Like, they've had a difficult start.
Yeah.
And for lack of, well, in short, they've done well.
Yep.
Liverpool are unrefined yet. They're not the finished product because of all the changes they've made.
They're getting to the sharpness, but not yet.
Yeah, that's normal. That takes time. But I believe Newcastle, if they win, I won't be surprised. Put it that way.
There you go. Isaac?
I think Liverpool just edge it.
Just edge it.
I'm a Liverpool fan, so I may be biased. But
yeah, I think 2-0, but just edge it.
I think 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1. Yeah, definitely. We just signed Wataru Endo.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on him as a player? Is he a panic buy? Because we couldn't get Caicedo, we couldn't get Lavia. Was this like a last minute thing, or do you reckon this was thought through? He's an excellent player, let's get him on board for this season.
I think Klopp wanted him.
Yeah.
I heard that he went to the board and convinced them not to sign a younger player, which is what they tend to do.
Yeah.
So if Klopp likes him,
he's 30 years old too.
Yeah, he's 30, so you probably get a good year or two out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's a panic buy. But I do think he wasn't a priority buy.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
So he was definitely on the short list.
But he wasn't first or
wasn't
second.
At the top. Yeah, yeah. He wasn't first. He may not even have been third, but he came in third. So panic, no. But priority also, definitely not.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, talking football's done. I've got a game, all right? Now, I've tweaked it for two guests. Normally, if I had one guest, there's 10 questions. You've got a timer on and you've got to try and get as many right as you possibly can in that time frame. However, there's no time frame for this. There's 7 questions. It's Isaac against Dan. Just battle it out. See who wins. There's 7 questions. So hopefully it's a 4-3 win to someone. But we'll see how we go.
Hopefully it's a 7-0 win.
It's whoever's closest. Whoever says the right answer first will get the point.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Ready as a living.
Ready. All right. How old is Aaron Ramsdale? I feel like I need a time ticking.
25.
Oh, I was going to say...
Ding, ding, ding.
I was going to say 25 as well.
1-0 to Dan.
I was between 25 and 26.
Pure guess.
Well, there you go. Question 2. What number does Harvey Barnes wear for Newcastle?
Harvey Barnes for Newcastle?
11?
What was
11?
That? No, not 11.
Are you allowed to give hints?
No, not now.
Well, we'll see how long we go for, then I might give a few hints.
I feel like it's a high number.
It's in the teens.
It's not a single digit.
It's in the teens.
17?
17, 17? No.
Okay, it's number 14 then.
No.
15.
Yes, 1-1. There we go. It's a contest. A contest. That's what we like to see. 1-1. True or false? Pep Guardiola has won 4 Super Cup trophies.
False.
I can. True.
True? False?
I think it's false.
But you're saying European Super Cup?
Yeah, UEFA Super Cup. The Europa League winner versus the Champions League winner.
Yeah, I think it's true. False.
False, true. It's true.
Who did he win it with? Barca and
Bayern. Barca, Bayern City. Barca Man City.
Twice, maybe.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the Community Shield.
Because well, he's lost
his last three.
He's lost that three times, okay. So that's fair enough. But that's 2-1 to Dan. All right, fourth question. Who is the all-time French top scorer?
It's not Thierry Henry, is it?
Used to be, not anymore.
Oh, it's Giroud.
Yes, 2-2. He's got 54 goals for the French team.
I was literally considering every player that's played in the French Ligue 1. I didn't think you meant national team, but anyways, go on.
The all-time French top scorer.
Yeah, that's my fault. I was... anyways.
All right, question 5. 2-2. Now, this one might be pretty quick. Who are the 2 Premier League players leading the Golden Boot race so far?
Solly March and Haaland.
Solly March is 1, but I need 2. It's not Haaland. Haaland's got 2 goals. Solly March has got 3. So there's another Premier League player with 3 goals so far. I think they've scored both rounds too. So Solly March.
Top 10 team or bottom 10 team?
Currently top 10.
Okay.
Actually, currently top 6.
Top 6?
Yeah.
I've given one name. You got to give the other.
Yeah, but then I get the point.
Yeah, true. I'm trying to think who they're versing this weekend. They have got...
Oh, it's Wissa. Is it?
Close. Same right team, but it's not Wissa.
He scored 2, hasn't he?
He scored 2, but we're looking for Mbeumo. 3. Yes.
Oh.
Solly March and... how do you say his name? Mbeumo.
That should be 50-50. That
half a...
you know what? You know what? Scissors, paper, rock. Scissors, paper, rock. Go on. Go on. Scissors, paper, rock.
How's that possible?
It should be 1 point
How
each.
How does this feel?
1 point each.
Just scrap it. It's a dead round.
All right, dead round. Yeah, sure, dead round.
You're going to need another question.
Come up with one off the top of my head. How many red cards were there in this previous previous game week in the Premier League?
How many which cards?
How many red cards
5. Were given? 2.
5 is correct. So we got, hang on. How many points are...
3 all.
3-2.
3-2. Yes, it is. The dead round. 3-2 to Isaac. All right.
I saw first that stat before coming here. That's why I need the 5.
First person to name 4 Saudi Arabian clubs.
Al-Hilal, Al-Nassr, Al-Ittifaq.
Oh, you've got me.
And Al-Tawun is one of them.
No, he's correct.
Okay, there you go. I'll take your word for Al-Tawun.
I thought you had to buzz in. Sorry.
Yeah, next time I'm going to bring buzzers. That's all right.
You've won.
You've won the game, so I don't even have to come up with the question.
What is it anyway?
So I've put 5 down here. I've got Al-Nassr, Al-Hilal, Al-Ali, which is the one Mahrez and Edouard Mendy played for, Al-Ittihad, and Al-Ittifaq. Yeah. I think it's... There you go. But thank Gerard. You guys for coming on Inside Right, episode 4.
4-3.
4-3 finish. There you go. Thank you guys so much for coming on today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And see you guys on Friday.
See you on Friday.
See you on Friday.